Israel, whoa. Israel was going through some tough times. They were maybe kind of feeling sorry for themselves, like, God, where are you? Why do we have to go through these tough times? So Isaiah wrote, O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
This morning at 3:30, the lights went on, and they wouldn't go off, no matter what I tried, tossing and turning. And I don't really think I went back to sleep, and I got out of bed at 5:30 and went and made my usual pot of coffee and sat down at the table, and the book that I journal in every morning, I just started writing down what had so rudely awakened me this morning. And I have decided in my old age that these moments that won't leave me alone. This wasn't the beginning of these thoughts at 3:30. I've been thinking about them. That it's the urging of the Spirit. Really think that. And so I threw the other sermon in the sermon bin, and it will come up later. I've given this two names, Rise Up on Wings as one name for this sermon, and the other is We Are Not Kiwanis. So will you say that with me? We are not Kiwanis. So don't remember that. I mean, don't forget that. I want to begin. So this is all rooted in the fact that I have begun conversations with Brandon and with Sherry. About to be married next month. Wonderful people recommended by Todd, friends of Todd. I want to tell you a little bit about them. It's not much, but a little bit just to kind of get your gray matter going. Both of them have, Brandon has finished a pretty big degree, and Sherry's about to defend for hers. Brandon was a surgical PA, physician's assistant, and at a crucial moment in his life, he felt the call to ministry. And he is thoroughly ensconced in that, giving up a great career with high pay for ministry. Sherry has experience on church staffs, and both of them are in their own ways very impressive people, but also very sweet people. And this is what I've been praying for years now. So this morning all these thoughts were going on within me, and basically I have four ideas that I want to talk to you about. My first is an observation about Christians in general, and that is that I rarely ever hear them saying, I think God is in this. Or I have decided because of God, because of the way that God guides and directs and informs and blesses my life, God is my go-to. God is my beginning point. The first impulse, Amanda kind of talked about this a little bit this morning. The first impulse is, I'm going to do what I want. So easy, isn't it? LifeSpring began under the belief that God was leading this. And if that is the case, if that continues to be the case, the first impulse ought to be to breathe in God. Where is God leading? Where is God in this? Indeed, where is God in this possible relationship with Brandon and Sherry? And what does God expect of me? That's where it gets hard. It's when you start thinking about the expectations that God has for you, how He created you, what He imbued you with, and myself as well. Akin to this, the great filter of everything is Christ's death and resurrection. I made coffee this morning. I just bought a coffee grinder. It's a burr grinder, for those of you who know anything about coffee. And it's transformed my life.
My daughter said the same thing.
Thanks, John. Well, it's true. She's right. It will transform your life.
That's why you got up this morning.
That's why I got it. It's for my burr grinder. And in my coffee maker, there's this filter that I put in there, and all the coffee and everything that goes into the pot below goes through that filter. Nothing ends up in the pot until it's touched the filter. And that should be Jesus. I'm so impressed with what Paul told the Corinthians. He said, while I was still with you, I forgot everything except Christ and Him crucified. Everything. There was nothing else that was in consideration, that was in play, except Christ and Him crucified. As far as I'm concerned, that's the test of everything. Everything. And if it doesn't meet the Christ measurement, I don't consider it. And we kind of get inclinations of this in Genesis, believe it or not. Genesis. When the serpent comes to Adam and Eve, and God shows up. And God says, your seed, talking to the woman, pardon me, to the serpent, will bruise the heel of her seed. Think crucifixion. But the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman, will crush the head of your offspring. Fatal blow. And so, early on, we're already starting to get pictures of what's going to happen, what God's got in mind, what God is doing for us. The test of everything is the cross. Kind of the second thought. Has to do with the national boredom, the national malaise that I see right now. I hear people talk and they say, I'm so sick of fill in your blank. I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of that. And I think I detect a little bit of it in us even, kind of boredom, a kind of pulling back. But then I'm reminded of what Bev read to us this morning. Isaiah says, have you not heard that the Creator of the world never grows weary? And he gives power to the weak. God never gives up. And so what happened to us, Christendom? What happened to all those people who call themselves by Christ's name? Who give up on their love of the Lord and their desire to walk in His paths. Where did we ever get the idea that we can't be disturbed by that which cost Jesus His very life? We humans are just so full of hubris and pride and arrogance when it comes to things like this. Isaiah reassured that those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. And I don't think this is magical thinking. I don't think it was somebody's going to snap their fingers and this is going to happen. I think in this beautiful poetic language is a world of discipline and struggle and rigor and all of that. But God is there. Third thing. So if God is in it was the first. Weariness is the second. The third is entropy. Entropy is one of the laws of thermodynamics. And this is a layman's definition of it. But entropy basically says that everything decays without energy being supplied to it. So a rocket in orbit, car on gasoline, paint on your house, weeds that come up through your sidewalk. Everything decays if you don't supply energy to them. It's just a law. It happens everywhere. In Acts 20, Paul rendezvoused with the elders from Ephesus. He had already been to Ephesus, but now he's on his way back to Jerusalem. And on the way, he stops in Miletus, and he calls for the people, the elders of the Ephesian church, to come down and meet him there. And to them, he says, I'm really concerned. Because fierce wolves are going to come in, this is entropy, and they're not going to spare the flock. They're going to grab little baby Christians and drag them off into the woods. So he says, so guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, which he purchased with his own blood. Paul was seeing it early on in the history of the church. He knew what was necessary, not dumbing down, not inattentiveness, which all contribute to the decay of the community of Christ. requires rigor. It requires good teaching. This is one of the reasons why I spend so much time talking about things like nihilism, is because they're out there and we just absorb them. And they become part of our thinking and we didn't even realize it. So somebody has to do that. Perseverance is the rule of the day. Paul told the Philippians that I press on to reach the end of the race. What a great image. Here's Paul running the race. The race, of course, is not to beat somebody else, but it's to get to the end of the course, to come to God's joy over his life. So my fourth one is, it occurred to me that at times you may wonder, what am I thinking? You know, what's going on with Logue? Why is Logue so concerned about his successor? Is that the right word? No. Yes, successor. Well, I want to tell you why. In 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, Paul tells the Corinthian church that they are a letter of recommendation for him, that they are written on his heart. And it's his way of saying to them, you are so important to me. What you do, how you have become, how you show Christ, you're so important to me. And I want you to know that that's what you are to me. There's almost nobody else in the world that's more important to me than you are. I would never just walk away. I would never, ever do that. I have given you free of charge 16 years of love. And relationship. And how could I walk away from that? How could I do that? There would be no integrity in that, no commitment in that, no love in that if I did something like that. You also know that Bev and I own our house, so there's that too. But you know, you can sell houses, right? Not what we want to do. We want to see somebody who can come and do good work here. We want to see LifeSpring prosper. Remember when we had nearly 50 on a Sunday? Remember that? Remember when kids' voices, I love that announcement, Erica. Yeah, it is nice to have somebody 18 or under. Well, we can get back to that. But we're going to have to be committed. It's going to have to be hard work done. We can do this. So what do you do with this? What do you do? Well, first, pray for Brandon and Sherry. It will be Brandon and Sherry Bradley in May. Second, get ready to roll the red carpet out for them. I don't know what that's going to look like. I'll talk to you about that when we get to that point. I don't know what kind of experience they want to come out, but I don't know what kind of experiences they want to have. Please don't yawn. Say, what can we do? How can we make this good for them? How can we make this good for us as well? And number three, be ready to articulate your kingdom dreams for LifeSpring. Going forward, what does LifeSpring look like? Going forward, How do we reproduce the kingdom of God in Merced? Honestly, I don't believe there's not many churches like us. Just don't think they're out here, there in Merced. So what an opportunity we have. What would that look like? In this case, Kiwanis dreams don't work, so I ask you to repeat this. Let's do it again. We are not Kiwanis. We are not Kiwanis. We're the kingdom of God. And as such, that should govern the way we approach all this. This, I hope, will refine in your minds the importance of this process. Don't be bored by it. Be excited about it. There's so much possibility. It's filled with so much possibility as we think about a new chapter. And increase your faith in God's work in us. I've been praying for years for this. We'll see. But it sure feels good, the conversations that I've had. It will also help you to be a kingdom future thinker and disciple. Remember that you have an important role to play in this family. You are loved, you are skilled, you have things to contribute that make this a well-oiled machine. Weren't you thrilled by what Amanda told us this morning? And that's so like LifeSpring. Where else do you get to see that happen? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for this family and for what it represents to us and the opportunities that it opens for us. Please help us to be your kingdom, your children. Please help us to be true to what we have claimed. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.